الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فعن أبي واقد الليثي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بينما هو جالس في المسجد والناس معه إذ أقبل ثلاثة نفر فأقبل اثنان إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وذهب واحد قال فوقف على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأما أحدهما فرأى فرجة في الحلقة فجلس فيها وأما الآخر فجلس خلفهم وأما الثالث فأدبر ذاهبا فلما فرغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ألا أخبركم عن النفر الثلاثة أما أحدهم فآوى إلى الله فآواه الله وأما الآخر فاستحيا فاستحيا الله منه وأما الآخر فأعرض فأعرض الله عنه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته سيدنا أبو واقد الليثي رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam whilst he was sitting in the masjid, the Masjid-e-Nabawi, and people were with him, when three people came. From amongst the three people who came, two people came towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and one left. One went away. The narrator says, فَوَقَّفَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The two who came towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they stood near Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they thought for a while. فَأَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا, one of the two, فَرَأَ فُرْجَةً فِي الْحَلَقَةِ, he saw a gap in the circle. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was sat in the masjid with a few people around him in a circle. Three people came. One of them left, two came forward, and one of the two, he saw a gap in the circle that was sitting in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Fajalasa fiha. So he sat in the circle. Wamma al-akharu, the second from the two, the other. Fajalasa khalfahum. He sat behind the people who were sitting in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a circle. He sat behind them. وَأَمَّا الثَّالِثُ and the third one, فَأَدْبَرَ ذَاهِبًا, he had already turned his back and left. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam became free from the work that he was doing, the khutbah that he was delivering, or the lesson that he was teaching, or when he became free from dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to the people who were sat in front of him, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ عَنِ النَّفَرِ الثَّلَاثَةِ, shall I not inform you regarding the three people? Amma ahaduhum, one of them, one from the three, one of them, fa'awa ila Allah, he took refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa'awahu Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him refuge. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ, the other, the second, فَاسْتَحْيَا, he behaved with shyness. فَاسْتَحْيَا اللَّهُ مِنْهُ, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retributed him for his shyness. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ, and the other, the third one, فَأَعْرَضَ, he turned his face away from the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. فَأَعْرَضَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retributed him for turning his face away from the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Abu Waqid al-Laythi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is a very eminent sahabi of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala in his sahih reports this hadith from Abu Waqid al-Laythi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that he said that whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in Masjid Nabawi and people were with him, sitting in front of him in a circle, إِذْ أَقْبَلَ ثَلَاثَةُ نَفَرٍ, when three people came. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is sitting in Masjid Nabawi with a group of Sahaba. And this group had formed a circle. The ulama have deduced from this and many other ahadith similar to this, that when sitting in the company of a teacher, or sitting in the company of an alim, sitting in the company of a muallim, the people should form a circle. So if we have 10 people, 15 people, 20 people, we can form a circle. So forming a circle and sitting in a circle is mustahab. It is praiseworthy. When people sit in a circle, when people form a circle, then it becomes easy for the teacher to pay attention to each and every individual. He will be able to make an eye contact with everybody. And everybody will be able to make an eye contact with the teacher also. Everybody will feel important. Everybody will feel that I am right at the front. So when we have large gatherings, like our gathering here today, which consists of more than 200 people, it is not possible to form a circle. So we have many circles. We have one circle at the front, then we have a second circle at the back, we have a third circle after the second circle, we have a fourth circle after the third circle. So we are sitting in circles, but many circles. So this is also mustahab, because we are sitting in circles, one circle after the other. People should not sit here and there. The students, when they sit in class, they also have a circle. They form a circle. Because there are 10 people in a class, 15 people in a class, 20 people in a class. In the madrasa, normally the students don't sit behind each other. It is for this reason. Because it is mustahab to form a circle. So if we have a large classroom where the children can sit in a circle, that means all in one line. Some at the front, some on the right hand side, some on the left hand side. Because of their benches, it may not be a circle or a semicircle. It may be a square that we will see in front of us, but that is a circle. The teacher is able to give attention to each and every student, and the student is also able to focus on what the teacher is saying, what the teacher is doing, what the teacher is showing them practically. So it is mustahab to sit in a circle or circles. Not sit here and there. We find many people in the masajid in this day and age who sit leaning against the wall without the need to do so. Sometimes we find people sitting right at the back, leaning against the wall or not leaning against the wall, but they are not with the gathering. So we should join the gathering. If there are a handful of us, then we should make one circle. And if there are more, then we will, when we sit together, we'll have circle after the circle. So we will have many circles. But we should sit together. But if someone is unwell, if someone is unable to sit without the support of the wall, support of the pillar, due to his old age, due to some illness, then he is excused. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward as he, if he is sitting with the gathering, because although he is sitting far away from the gathering, leaning against the wall or leaning against the pillar, the desire in his heart is that I wish I was healthy, I wish I was young and I was also able to sit with the gathering. So upon his intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also grant him reward. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi, and people were with him when three people came. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid with a gathering, and three people came. Three people came not to the gathering, three people came into the masjid. Idakbala salasatu nafarin. Three people came into the masjid. And after observing the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one of them decided to leave. And the other two decided to come forward and join the gathering. So Abu Waqid al-Laythi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sat in the masjid. People were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a circle. When three people came from outside the masjid and they entered the masjid. And after observing the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two people came towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two people came forward. They decided to join the gathering and participate in the activity that was taking place in Masjid Nabawi. Wadahaba wahidun, and one decided to leave. The two who decided to join the gathering, they came forward, and when they reached the gathering, they stood for a while. فَوَقَفَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ They stood for a while near Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or near the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And they were thinking as to how to join the gathering. So فَأَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا From amongst the two, one saw a gap in the circle. So he decided to take his place in the circle. فَجَلَسَ فِيهَا So he sat in the circle. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ And the second one, the second from the two who had decided to come forward and join the gathering, he sat behind the people. So he sat behind the people means that he did not join the circle. Now, either he did not join the circle because there was no place in the circle, or he did not join the circle because out of haya, out of shyness, he decided not to go forward and sit where he was at the back of the gathering. This happens to many of us, that out of shyness, out of bashfulness, we just sit where we are, we just sit where we find the place. So from amongst the two, one sat in the circle, and the other, he sat behind the circle, behind the people, meaning behind the circle. وَأَمَّا الثَّالِثُ And as far as the third person is concerned, he had already gone. He had turned his back towards the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he had already gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam observed the behavior of all three. The three people came into the masjid. One person saw the activity that was taking place in the masjid and he left. The second one came forward and he sat in the gathering, finding a place in the circle. And the third one, out of haya, out of shyness, out of bashfulness, did not want to make space in the circle. If he tried, people would have moved slightly and he would have been able to make a place. Or there was a place. Maybe the place was very near to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But out of shyness, he did not come at the front and he did not sit in the circle. And he sat where he was behind the circle. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam concluded his engagement, when he finished his engagement, either he was teaching the Sahaba-i Kiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, it was either Majlisul Ilm. He was delivering a sermon, he was giving a lecture, he was teaching them Quran, he was teaching them Hadith. It was Dars of Hadith, Dars of Quran, Dars of Fiqh. Either he was teaching them, it was Al-Majlisul Ilmi, or it was Majlisul Dhikr.
that he was sat with the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain, and he was remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain were also remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So either it was Majlisul Dhikr or it was Majlisul Ilm. Either he was teaching them fiqh, he was teaching them masail, he was teaching them tafsir, or he was remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala by talking about the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain listening about the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, or he was remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with words of praise, and the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain were also individually remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with words of praise. So it was either Majlisul Dhikr or it was Majlisul Ilm. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after completing the Majlisul Dhikr or Majlisul Ilm, he said, Ala ukhbirukum anin nafari thalatha, shall I not inform you in regard to the three people? Maybe some of them did not even notice that three people had come. One had left, one had entered the circle, and the other sat behind the circle. Maybe majority of them had noticed only two people. Some of them may have noticed only one person. And one or two individuals may have noticed all the three people. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I not inform you regarding the three people? Shall I not inform you regarding the actions of the three people and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them according to their actions? So the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmeen must have said, Bala Ya Rasulullah, why not, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhbirna, please tell us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Amma ahaduhum fa'awa ilallahi fa'awahullah. First Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about the most virtuous from amongst the three. He mentioned the best action from amongst the three actions, the best deed from amongst the three deeds. He said, from amongst the three, one of them took refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them took refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَآوَاهُ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him refuge. So one of them took refuge in the Majlis-e Zikr, or one of them took refuge in the Majlisul Ilm. So he took refuge in the Zikrullah, or he took refuge in the Ilm that was being taught, and he entered the gathering where Zikrullah was taking place, or Ta'alim was taking place, where teaching and learning was taking place. So he took refuge in that Majlis where Ta'alim wa Ta'allum, teaching and learning was taking place, or remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taking place. In return, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him? فَآوَاهُ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him refuge. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him his mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him his pleasure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him his Jannah. So those people who look for the majalis of the ulama, wherein ta'aleem and ta'allum is taking place, and they actually go and participate in these gatherings, or those people who look for the majalis of dhikr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered, and they sit in those gatherings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers upon them his mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them his pleasure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees them Jannah. So one thing we learn from this hadith is that we should look for majalis-e zikr, and we should look for majalis-e ta'alim wa ta'allum, where ulama are teaching people, like the durus of the Quran, durus of the hadith, majalis that take place in the masajid. where ulama are imparting durus. People should look for these majalis. And those students who are studying in makatib, the evening maktabs, young students, or the older students who are studying in the madaris, in full-time madaris or part-time madaris, where they are attending adult classes and on a regular basis learning from ulama. Some are becoming ulama, some are learning the Arabic language, trying to understand the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the tafsir of the Quran. They are so fortunate. Because on a daily basis, they are spending hours learning from the ulama, hours sitting in the company of the ulama. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting them His rahmah. Allah is granting them His pleasure. And Allah is granting them His jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman." One who embarks on a journey, and one who undertakes a journey, one who treads a path, yaltamisu fihi ilman, in search for knowledge. One who embarks on a journey, or one who treads a path in order to acquire ilm, sahalallahu lahu bihi tariqan ilal jannah. As a result of this effort of his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for him the path to Jannah easy. So majalis ilmiya, where ilm is taught, where ilm is taught in the form of a madrasa, where students attend daily for a few hours, for many hours, or where ilm is taught in masajid by the ulama in the form of durus of the Quran, durus of the hadith, durus of masail, durus of fiqh, durus of seerah. Those people who attend such gatherings, they become worthy of acquiring the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the jannat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is through these majalis a person learns what to do and what to abstain from. It is through these majalis a person realizes what makes Allah happy and what makes Allah unhappy. It is through these gatherings a person realizes the objective of his life. And it is through these majalis a person is motivated to do what he learns. So he is treading the path towards Jannah. These majalis makes the path towards Jannah easy. And regarding majalisu zikr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Idha marartum bi riyadil jannati farta'u." When you pass by the gardens of paradise, gardens of Jannah, then satiate yourself. Fill your bellies. Eat well from these gardens. When animals pass through gardens, fields, they satiate themselves. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to his followers, "Idha marartum bi riyadil jannah," when you pass by the riyadul jannah, the gardens of Jannah, "Farta'u," then satiate yourself. Why? Because the more you eat, the more higher Jannah you will acquire. So the Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullah Ta'ala Ali Majmain said, "Wama riyadul jannati ya Rasulullah." O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the gardens of Jannah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hilaku dhikr," the gatherings of dhikr. The gatherings of dhikr are the riyadul jannah. They are the gardens of Jannah. So when you pass by the gatherings of Jannah, that means the majalis of zikr, the circles of zikr, the gatherings of zikr, then eat as much as you can. Fartau, satiate yourself as much as you can. Because the more you benefit from these majalis, the more you participate and the more you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more higher Jannah you will acquire. Why? Because it is as the result of zikrullah that a person recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So through ilm, a person realizes what to do and what he should not do. So through ilm, a person comes to know what is permissible, what is impermissible. What is good, what is bad. And through dhikr, a person recognizes Allah and his heart becomes healthy. And when the heart becomes healthy, he is able to carry out the do's and he is able to abstain from the don'ts. So here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praising that person who did not turn away when he saw the majlis of zikr or when he saw the majlis of ilm. What did he do? He did not turn away, he came forward. He came forward and he sat in the gathering. He tried to come as forward as possible. From this, the ulama have deduced another point, that it is mustahab to sit as close as possible to the teacher. Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrating the incident of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam coming in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam in the form of a human. Umar radiyallahu anhu said, "Bainama nahnu julusun inda Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Whilst we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, istala alina rajulun, when a person came, shadidu bayadis siyab, his clothes were very white, was shadidu sawadis shar, and his hair were very black, wala ya'rifuhu minna ahad, and no one from amongst us knew him. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, we were astonished that his clothes are very white and his hair are very black. So this is not somebody who has traveled from outside. Because if he had traveled from outside, then his clothes would not have remained so white and his hair would not have remained so black because of the dust. So he is somebody who is from Madina Munawwara, but we didn't know him. So is he from outside? Is he from Madina Munawwara? Hatta jalasa ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came and he went right to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatta jalasa, he sat in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how close did he sit? Fasnada rukbatayhi ila rukbatayhi. His knees were touching the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَوَضَىٰ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِدَيْهِ. And he had placed his both hands on his thighs. He was sitting with lot of adab and respect like we do when we sit in the attahiyyat position. And thereafter he said, "Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhbirni anil Islam, please teach me. Teach me what Islam is, teach me what Iman is, teach me what Ihsan is." See, so the ulama have said that it is mustahab to sit right at the front of the gathering. It's just like Salat. It's just like Salat. Those performing Salat in the first row, their Salat is more virtuous than those performing the Salat in the second row. And those performing Salat in the second row, their Salat is more virtuous than those performing Salat in the third row. So same in the Al-Majlisul Ilmi also. In Majlisul Zikr and also in Majlisul Ilm, those who sit right at the front, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower more mercy upon them. Allah will become more happy with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate them more in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will benefit them more from the ilm that they are trying to acquire.
So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the very first person, he took refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means he participated in the gathering of zikr or in the gathering of ilm, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him refuge. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him his mercy, his jannah and his pleasure. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ, the second person, فَاسْتَحْيَا, he behaved with shyness. He behaved with shyness. The commentators of hadith have mentioned two meanings of this. He behaved with shyness means that he was a person who was shy. So, despite there being room in the circle, out of shyness he just sat where he was behind the circle. And he did not make the effort to go and join the circle. Or, there was no room in the circle, but if he tried to get into the circle, the people have moved a little, and a place would have been made for him. So without causing any inconvenience to other people, it was possible for him to get into the circle, but as a result of his haya, he just sat where he was able to, that is behind the circle. So this is one meaning. This is one meaning that he did not try to push into the circle. As a result of shyness, bashfulness, he just sat where he was able to. And the other meaning is that he was also like the third person who left. He also wanted to leave. But he was a person with haya. Haya cannot be translated into Urdu or English or any other language. Haya, what is haya? Haya is a quality of the heart. It's like tawakkul. Tawakkul is the quality of the heart. Tawakkul, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the quality of the heart. Generosity is the quality of the heart. Sabr, patience is the quality of the heart. So haya is also the quality of the heart. And when a person acquires haya, that means when a person enlightens his heart with the quality of haya, what will happen to him? He will not be able to do anything wrong. Al-haya wa shu'batu min al-iman. Haya is a very great part of iman. It is a khuluq. It is a quality of the heart. And once acquired, then this haya will stop a person from doing wrong. The more the haya, the more the precautiousness. For example, when we are in front of people, we will not take off our clothes. Even if we are instructed by somebody to take off our clothes, we will not take off our clothes in front of people. Why? What is stopping us from taking our clothes off? It is this quality of haya in our hearts. Then you have two types of people. You have one person who is prepared to take off his jubba. He is also prepared to take off his topi. He is also prepared to take off his vest, but not his trousers. And you have another person who is prepared to take off the topi and take off the jubba, but not the vest. So this person has more haya than the first one. And the third person, he is prepared to take off the topi, but not the jubba. This person has more haya. And you have the fourth person who is not even prepared to take off the topi. Haya. Haya prevents a person from doing that thing which according to him is wrong. Haya. So when a person does something wrong and he is asked by somebody that who did this? Did you do this? He knows that if I say no, I didn't do this, nobody will know. But if he has haya in his heart, he will not be able to lie. It is for this reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-haya la ya'ti illa bi khair. Haya will only bring goodness. Haya will only bring goodness. Al-haya khayrun kulluhu. Haya is all goodness. So, fastahiya, this person out of haya, out of shyness, was unable to move forward. Or he had this haya, so he decided to leave the majlis, but his haya prevented him from doing this wrong. So, he decided to leave the majlis, but haya overtook him and he also came forward and he sat in the majlis. So because of his action, as a result of his haya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him for his haya. And Allah did not become unhappy with him. Allah became happy with him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered upon him his mercies. So the first person is the best person. He came forward, there was no hesitation whatsoever. And he went right to the front and wherever he found a good place, he sat down without inconveniencing anybody. Because if we try to go right at the front whilst inconveniencing people, it becomes impermissible. Causing inconvenience to other people is haram. The other person also did good. That as a result of his haya, he did not turn his back towards the majlis of ilm or majlis of zikr. He participated. But it took a while for him to decide. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not become unhappy with him because he did not go away from the majlis and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him mercy. The third person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the third person ignored. He turned his face away, means he ignored the majlis of ilm and he ignored the majlis of zikr. Majlis of ilm and majlis of zikr. And then the majlis of ilm and majlis of zikr, which was being conducted by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retributed him for his ignoring the majlis, for his turning away from the majlis by becoming angry with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became angry with him. So my friends, my sisters listening at home, what we learn from this is that we should all remain in search of majalis where authentic, reliable ulama, people of ilm, sisters with ilm, brothers with ilm are imparting durus and teaching people good things about deen, teaching people the do's and the don'ts of deen. And when we do find such gatherings, then we should leave our homes, participate, and we should try to reach there early, and we should try to find place right at the front. The more at the front, the better. And we should not become victims of laxity, victims of laziness, and we should never ignore such majalis. Those people who ignore such majalis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive them. And those people who walk away from such majalis, they can be divided into a few categories. Category number one, a person walks away from the majalis as a result of valid reason, valid excuse. He is unwell, he has a severe headache, his physical health will not allow him to participate in the gathering. So despite the desire, despite wanting to, he is compelled to leave. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deprive him of anything. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his intentions and knows his condition. He has to leave the gathering because his wife is unwell, his children are unwell, he needs to be at home. He has to leave the gathering because he has to work. Or he has to wake up in the morning to go somewhere. So he has a valid reason. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not become angry with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deprive him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will excuse him. And Allah will reward him for the good intention that he has. That if I did not have this valid reason, I would have participated. So Allah will not completely deprive him. That is first category. Category number two, those people who have no valid reason to leave the majlis. But they leave the majlis only due to laziness. Laziness, carelessness. Majority of the people who come into the masjid to perform salat, and after salat they leave and they do not participate in the durus. They fall in this category. It's not that they are proud or they dislike the dars that is taking place. No, it's just carelessness. They are lazy. So out of carelessness and out of laziness, if people walk away from such majalis and such gatherings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive them, because they will not acquire anything. They will neither acquire the reward and the barakat of the majlis, nor will they acquire reward for having good intention, because they have no intention to sit in such gatherings. So Allah is depriving them of the benefits of these majalis. Imagine a person who continually sits in ilmi majalis, the majalis of the ulama, for 10 years. Imagine the things that he will learn. Imagine the understanding of deen that he will acquire. From here he will rise up to here. He will be able to get a better understanding of deen in 10 years. And another person who is very religious, who performs salat regularly, and who is seen as a pious person amongst the community, but he does not sit in the majalis of the ulama. So his understanding of deen will remain the same. So those people who do not participate in the majalis of the ulama out of laziness, out of due to carelessness, not that they dislike the ulama or they dislike these majalis or they do not or that they believe that these majalis are not beneficial, then they will be deprived because they will not progress. They will be deprived because they will not progress. So they will not get any reward whatsoever because they do not sit in the majalis. They will not get any reward whatsoever because they have no valid reason to walk away, and they do not entertain this thought that if I did not have these commitments, I would have participated. So they will neither get reward nor benefit of the majalis. The first group, who has valid reason to walk away, they will not get the benefit of the majalis, but they will be rewarded for their good intentions. And then we have the third category. Third category, who have no reason to walk away, and who walk away out of pride and arrogance. Out of pride and arrogance. Why should I sit in his gathering? Why should I sit in the gatherings of the ulama? They have this anti-feeling in their minds regarding the ulama, regarding the majalis that the ulama hold in the masajid. They feel unhappy inside. They feel unhappy. They cannot say this to anyone, but they feel unhappy. They may expose this unhappiness to those people who are similar to them in thinking. What's the point of these majalis? What's the point of sitting in the majalis of the ulama? Dars-e-Quran, dars-e-Hadith. It's not beneficial. Out of pride, out of arrogance, out of dislike for ulama, dislike for the majalis of the ulama and the majalis of ilm and the majalis of zikr, then upon such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes displeased. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my friends, never turn away from ilmi majlis as a result of disliking the ulama or disliking the particular alim or disliking the activity that is taking place. Never say, never bring these words on your lips that what is the benefit of Dars-e-Quran, what is the benefit of Dars-e-Hadith, what is the benefit of these gatherings that the ulama hold. These are very, very precious gatherings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very displeased. One who turns away from the gathering of ilm and the gathering of zikr,
out of pride, out of haughtiness, out of anger, out of arrogance, out of dislike, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become unhappy with that person. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes unhappy with somebody, he can neither become successful in this world nor the hereafter. And do not leave majalis of the ulama out of laziness and out of carelessness also. In order to remove laziness, in order to remove carelessness, we need to sit down and contemplate that why has Allah created us? Allah has created us to live our lives according to His pleasure. How will we know what makes Allah happy and what makes Allah unhappy? By sitting in the company of the ulama, because the ulama will teach us. Ulama will teach us that this brings the pleasure of Allah and this brings the displeasure of Allah. So do this and stay away from this. Now if that is why Allah has created me, that I need to acquire His pleasure, and Allah's pleasure will be known by sitting in the company of the ulama, then I also need to sit in the company of the ulama and participate. The sisters should also listen very carefully to the durus that are imparted by the ulama, the brothers also, and try to acquire as much ilm as possible and benefit from the majalis of the ulama. There are places in the UK, throughout the world, where people do not get the opportunity to sit regularly in the majalis of the ulama. So those of us who are able to regularly participate in majalis of the ulama, where Quran is being taught, where hadith is being taught, then we should value these gatherings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا مقبولا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشى ودعاء لا يسمع. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، واجعل الجنة هي دارنا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم اغفر لي وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق ووحد صفوفهم. اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك، واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك ونبيك
ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد منه عبدك ونبيك. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.